We're doing the Seder HaDorot, and we're still in the introduction. Haken Reva Chakim, Ki Kol Dvarai, Ki Kol Dibrei Maim Agadol, Talmud Bavli, Birushalmi, Meshitim, Umisapir, Sifra, Vesifri, Yesatim. You could take a good look, and if you're intelligent, you'll see that everything I say is based on the words of the Babylonian Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud, the sapphire of the Sifra and Sifri. That's a play on words. The sapphire, the chosen stones of the Sifra and Sifri are their foundation. Umi nofech, nofech is again a precious gem. Umi nofech ha-mechilta meshachtim. I anointed them with nofech, this precious stones of the mechilta. Umi bareket rabba v'tanchuma simachtim. And bareket is another one of the precious stones of the breastplate of the Medrash Rabba. And Medrash Tanchuma, I supported them. Umi divrei ha-geonim uvalei ha-tosfot revatztim. And I watered them, so to speak. I planted them based on the words of the Gaonim and the Tosfos. V'chen arbe tayot mitzad ha-sofer lo yisupar, v'chen mitzad ha-shgiya, al hakol libi samtim taknam karaui. I even took note of different places where the scribes erred in copying things down, and I corrected it. And I was very careful to fix even things that were quoted in other works incorrectly. I quoted them correctly. The Sefer Yuchsin, he wrote the names of the Tanaim and the Amoraim in a disjointed manner, and you need candles to find anything you're looking for in that work. But I arranged it clearly in the order of the Aleph Beis, Liot Berosh Kefi Ashoresh, that I took the root of the name and I put that the beginning of the name. Shulchani Yaruch Makiro Baruch Lakel HaTorach Le'et HaTzorech. My table should be set, and whoever recognizes its value should be blessed. I made it easy when you come looking through my work whenever necessary. He didn't write his work in chronological order either, and sometimes he wrote later Tanoim before earlier Tanoim. And I arranged them in chronological order as well. That's because you have two volumes. One's in chronological order and the other one's in alphabetical order. And the work, Sherit Yosef, he added on the Sefer Yuchsin, and he showed his intellectual acumen to show who were the disciples of Rav and Rav Yochanan. Achna patachticha v'ten toda k'inech Hashem yadot v'chelek chumash yadumash v'otan asher zachar hereti b'rayot pruvot lo yedati sporot v'chitrut u'biyado. He says, I proved that he erred in his listings. Gam v'rav k'sefer satum v'chatum v'raya lo yigid minale sheploni utamid Rav o Rav Yochanan. And he doesn't bother proving his points. He says, he's a disciple of Rav, he's a disciple of Rav Yochanan. Where did he get it from? And I've disproven him on numerous counts. Loken anochi, but I didn't do things his way. Hareti mekom otzov b'talmud beizem makom medaf muchach shu talmid or rabo v'chaviro sheploni. I cite my sources. You'll see in every case I tell you how I know that so and so is the disciple of so and so. Gam ayuchsin katav arbe pamim pita perush talmid pei ploni talmid ploni or bedor ploni. Sometimes the Sefer Yuchsin tells you he is the disciple of so-and-so in this generation and he doesn't prove it. And I proved it clearly. That's not the way he wrote. You'll tell me they were based on what Tosus and the Rambam writes. Who was the Rebbe and who was the disciple? He says, you know what? I've disproven things that are in Tosus and the Rambam too. I've brought proofs to show that the order of Rebbe and disciple is not exactly the way people think. I also collected from the works of the accepted authors in the Kabbalah Sfarim, they write which Tanoim and Amoraim were a Gilgul, or a reincarnation of which great person. So I collected that too. So he's going to tell us this Tana was really okay. And he did the same thing going from Adam through the prophets and the kings so that you see the wondrous things Hashem does, and and you'll be able to see how things play themselves out again in history, where people are given a second opportunity to fix what they did wrong the first time, or they replayed the same errors their predecessors had. As you can see in the story of Shmuel's father and Abaye, where I spell it out. And in the response of the Ralbach, who's he lived in the same generation as the Beis Yosef, he was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, the Ralbach, he writes that the belief that there is this concept of Gilgul is a true belief, and it's one of the foundations of the Torah, Letretz Kushiyot Tzadik V'Ralo. And that's one of the fundamental answers to the question of how a tzaddik could have it bad. Because the tzaddik is really coming back a second time, and he has to suffer for what he did the previous time, etc. V'katav Raman v'pirush Yov Zal, and Nachmanides writes in his commentary on Iyov, V'im techpotz avin asod ha-gadol hazeh, libcha tashit edati v'chiliotecha yishatnun, v'alchet titonen, v'tasium al panecha ha'anan, tiren ha'inecha ha'melech v'amalka v'titzve legula, tire shnei oferim tomei tzviya v'agzera v'abniya adkan lashono. He says, if you want to understand this great secret, the answer to the question of the book of Eov, how come the righteous sometimes have it bad, so listen, your heart should take note of my understanding, and strum strum the harp of your kidney. And weep over the sin as you remove from upon your face the clouds and see the king and the queen and look forward to the great redemption, and you'll see the two young deer that are like twins, and you'll understand the decree and the building. So he speaks in metaphoric terms, you don't know what he's talking about. Ramaz b'milat tit onen, when he says you will weep over your sin, he uses the word onen. Who was onen? Onan, that's the descendant of Yehuda, who did not want to give potential for his brother to come back into the world by giving seed to Tamar. Hamelech v'amalka, he says, if you want, look at the king and the queen. Who are the king and the queen of the Jewish people? The first king and queen is Yehuda and Tamar, his kala. Titzpela geula, and then look down to the great redemption. What's the great redemption? That's Boaz. Shaya Goel, he was the Redeemer. That's what it says in the end of the Megillah. The Boaz offered to Tov, he said, do you want to be the Redeemer or me? Which was really a code for the great Redeemer. Are you going to be the source of the Mashiach or me? Tomei Tzviya, look at the twins, the young deer who are twins. That's Nachmanides' allusion to Peretz and Zerach. You see how Nachmanides is hiding his thoughts in poetic form, and along comes the Seder Adors and spells it out for us. And he says, from that you'll understand the decree, and you'll also understand the building. What's the building? That's the whole idea of Yibum. Yibum is called where we offer the brother, do you want to build your brother's name? The potential to build, meaning to rebuild your brother, to give your brother's soul another capacity to enter the world, which is what happens when you have a child from a widow who had no children. We say that that's the soul that comes in. That's all I give chalitza, where you take off the shoe. We say the body is like a shoe for the soul. Just like the body stands on the shoe, so too the soul stands within the body. When you take off the shoe in chalitza, what you're saying is, you, the brother, didn't want to give your deceased brother capacity to enter a new shoe, to enter a new body in this world. So, remez the gilgul mechachmei Talmud. Here you see an allusion to the concept of Gilgul from the wise men of the Talmud. Dita ben Ida, if you want, I'll show it to you from the Talmud. It says in the tractate Nida, in the chapter called Hamapelet, Shemashbin avlat eit tzadik, that before a baby's born, the soul comes before the heavenly tribunal, and they make him promise he'll be a righteous person. Before he's born, before he comes to this world. They tell him, promise us you'll do good. Shenemar, Loticha kol berech, lecha ticha kol berech, zeyom amita. Tishava kol lashon, zeyom aleida. The verse says, all knees bow before you. That's a reference to the time that everyone goes down to the grave. The verse says, everyone swears before you. That's a reference to the day of birth, where a person is made to promise before he comes to the world he will do good. Hekedim yom amita laleida. The Talmud first talks about death and then life. Shouldn't it be the other way around? ללמדנו חידוש שבועה שנייה כשנולד פעם בית אחר מיתה. That's an allusion to this concept that there's a second time to make a promise. When a person has passed away and hasn't completed his work in this world, so they tell him, okay, we're going to send you down again, and this time you better promise you're going to do good. So that's the second time they make a promise.
Is he saying that you don't promise the first time?
Or you also promise the first time. And so too we have the pasuk, Yechi Reuven v'al yamot, let Reuven live and not die, motat inyana. So the Targum Yonson says, let Reuven live and not die a second death. What does it mean a second death? He shouldn't have to come back to this world to fix what he did and then have to suffer a second death. The verse says, and the prophet God says, I'm not going to forgive this till the day you die. So the Targum again translates, motat inyana, a second death. What does that mean? God says, I will not be silent till I pay them back. And I pay it to them specifically. The Targum translates it, I will give them a second death. Their body will die a second time. So what does that mean? So you see, he says, here you have in all kinds of places where Chazal alluded to this concept that life isn't lived only once. So that's the fantastic addition he does here. And then next time we'll pick up with his explanation of how important it is to know who is the teacher, who is the disciple. We still have a ways to go on this introduction.